My goodness, I'm glad to be here today. Look at the person sitting to your right and tell them, just look at them and say, I'm glad you're here. Now, look at the person on your left. Say, I'm glad you're here. Amen. All right. Good. Now turn around behind you. Say, I'm glad you're here. All right. Now everybody's glad everybody's here. Right? I want you to do one more thing. I want you to turn to... let me finish the statement before you do. I want you to turn to the right, to the left, behind you, and in front of you. And I want you to tell everybody one thing. One thing. Are you ready? Tell everybody around you, I'm here to serve you. Ooh, it got silent, didn't it? Go ahead. Amen. All right. Now, the question is, did you mean it? I'm going to tell you what, servants, being a servant and serving, sometimes is hard. And we start a new series today called A Heart to Serve. So we're going to work today on the heart. Because if you don't have the heart to serve, you will not serve very long. This is part of a continuation of our Desiring God series. If you truly desire to see the mighty hand of God in your life, you're going to have to serve. And if you're going to serve faithfully, you're going to have a heart to serve. So that's what we're going to be working on for the next few weeks, okay? All right, Mark chapter 8, verse 31 is the focus of our study today. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, and I really am glad you're here. It's good to see you today. Thank you for your attendance. Let's stand and let's read from the inerrant, inspired, absolutely true, and all-sufficient Word of God. Chapter 8, verse 31. And he being Jesus, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you today. With one prayer. That you will give the membership of this church the heart of a servant. That we may faithfully serve you first and foremost. Bring honor and glory to your name. And faithfully serve you by serving others. Father, we pray now your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message is, of course, A Servant's Heart. And we start with that thought. Having a servant's heart. A servant's heart. If we're going to have a servant's heart, we're going to have to look at the best example that we've ever had of being a servant. And you'll never guess who that example was. Of course, it was Jesus Christ. The greatest servant that has ever been or ever will be was Jesus. And of course, He is and should be our example in the way that we serve. You see, Jesus in the text, verse 31, it says that He began to teach that He must suffer many things. I want to call your attention to two words there. two words, the word must and the word suffer. That word must, you know what it means, but oftentimes we'll breeze over it and not really consider the profound nature of that word. The word must, it means absolutely necessary. So what Jesus is saying is that it is absolutely necessary. There is no other way. This absolutely has to be done. What has to be done? That he must suffer many things. You know what it means to suffer, right? Do you? Do the hard stuff. Do the difficult stuff. The unpleasant stuff. Jesus said, or taught His disciples, it is absolutely necessary that I do some stuff that's not going to be fun. It's going to be difficult. I'm not going to really like it as I do it, but it's absolutely necessary that I do it. What is it? He said, I will have to be rejected. And imagine, Jesus is God in the flesh, the creator of mankind, the creator of the universe, and He comes in the flesh. And He presents Himself to the Jews, even more specifically the religious leaders of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees. As Jesus approaches them, He says, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you know, put it in our language is, this is God in the flesh. Guys, I'm here. And you know how they responded? We don't want you. This is the Son of God. Their response is, we don't want you. Imagine Jesus, God Himself in the flesh, comes for the salvation of mankind, comes to give man a relationship with God the Father, and the response to His coming is, we don't want you. Now, I don't know about you, but about that point, I said, well, rain on you. I'll go back to heaven. You're on your own. But not Jesus. Because He said it was that He must suffer rejection. He said He must be killed. The very people that He came to save are the people who killed Him. They took Him before Pilate, and He stood there. And not an accusation was grounded or true that they made of Him. And Pilate himself, the governor, said, I find no fault with this man. What do you want me to do with him? And the Jews and the religious leaders cry out, crucify him! Crucify him! So what did they do? Of course, they took Him to Calvary. Nailed Him to a cross, put a crown of thorns on His head. And it was there that He suffered. It was there that He was mocked, that He was crucified. But Jesus said, I must suffer. But the glorious part is in the last statement. He says, I must be rejected. I must be killed, but I must rise again after 3 days. Listen, if He didn't suffer, He would never have gotten to the glorious part of the resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the grave, He'll be the first fruits, or He is the first fruits of all those who believe. Because Jesus, if you're a child of God today, because Jesus lives, you too shall live. You don't have to fear death. Glory to God, I know there's more than this life alone. But if Jesus did not go through all this and accomplish His God-given purpose, I want you to understand there's no hope for you. There would be no hope for me or for any of mankind. That's why you are why Jesus said, I must suffer. Isaiah 53:5. Turn there with me. Isaiah 53:5. Y'all know, keep your Bibles handy because we're going to use them. But I want you to grasp the profound nature of Jesus the servant. Isaiah chapter 53 says, and verse 5 says, He was wounded. What are those next two words? For our. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. What's those next two words? For our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace. There it is again. For our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Do you see the absolute laying aside of Jesus as being God here and the attention of heaven turned towards you? That, my friends, is the heart of a servant. And that's what we have to look at. You know, if we're going to serve. You see, servants are willing to sacrifice to accomplish the call of their master. And I want to tell you, when Jesus was on that cross, and He suffered, and He went through all the agony, there, I have no doubt, was a sense of overwhelming accomplishment and satisfaction when Jesus said, It is finished. The sin of man is paid. And see, that's what you have to understand when it comes to being a servant. When you accomplish God's purpose for you on this earth. But there's joy. But here's what you also have to... you have to get rid of the I. Listen. I say this lovingly and respectfully. The church is not here to serve you. The church is not here to serve your children. You are here to serve God. And that's what every believer must have the attitude of. I'm here to serve Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. You see, and that was the attitude of Jesus. John chapter 6 verse 38. Turn over there with me. It's not even about me serving you or you serving me. Look at Jesus' mentality in John chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus said, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus said, I'm not here to make myself happy. It's one of the, you know, the things that scares me about many churches today. They're so seeker sensitive and trying to please everyone that people in general never come to the realization that they're not in church to be served. They're in church to serve God. That's who we are. And that has to be the driving force behind who we are. It's to accomplish God's will and get our eyes off ourselves and say, God, what will you have me to do? That we be like the prophet Isaiah and say, Here am I, Lord, send me. Do you remember what it was like to be excited about serving? I know through the years, from time to time, we get disappointed. We get tired. We think, well, we're the only one doing anything and, you know, nobody else cares what I... Listen. Don't listen to that junk. I'm not trying to talk you into anything today. I'm not asking you to do anything. What I am trying to do is to convince you that you have a purpose on this earth. And that purpose is to glorify your Father which is in heaven. And if you glorify, and as that mission of glorifying God, you understand you are here for a purpose. Just like Jesus, who was sent for the salvation of mankind, He had a purpose. You have a purpose. And we're going to get into that a little farther down the line. But today, I want to challenge you, first of all, hey, let's take our eyes off of us and quit thinking of what can I get and what should the church do for me. And let's focus on what am I here for? I'm here to glorify God who is in heaven because He has a purpose for me in my life. But see, Jesus, as he approached this and teaching His disciples, there was a hindrance. It was a satanic hindrance. Satan, you know, where God's people are working, Satan's always around, right? And did you know, if you'll notice, He's using one of Jesus' disciples. Did you know old devil can use God's people if we let him? That's what he does with Peter. There was a satanic hindrance here. Peter took Jesus aside and Jesus had just laid it out and said, man, this is what I've got to do. This is what people need and this is what God sent me for. And Peter, because he, come here, Jesus. I want to talk to you a minute. Come here, Jesus. I want to talk to you. And it says he began to rebuke Jesus. You know what that word means, right? It means to express your strong disapproval. You know, when your kids don't do something that you don't appreciate and you say, don't do that again. It's kind of that mentality. Peter's taking this leadership role and saying, Jesus, come on. No, Jesus, you are the Son of God. That cannot possibly happen to you. You are the Messiah. Why would you even think such a thing? And besides that, you're discouraging everybody else. Jesus, come on, man. You got to be more positive than this. But as I looked at that, I thought, boy, that just sounds like the modern day concept of a servant, of our modern day servant. You see, we act as though God is here to serve us instead of us being here to serve God. That's why you hear such things like the prosperity gospel that preaches, did you know if you're saved, you're supposed to be rich? God wants you to be rich and have a big house and drive big fancy cars and never have any problems whatsoever and have a bankroll of money in the bank. Well, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Problem is, it's not in the Bible. That's why we hear such things as, and you hear this a lot, well, you know, if God's in it, it'll just all fall into place and, man, wrong. Because we have this concept that heaven and earth revolves around us. And it does not. We are here to serve. And ministry, I'm going to shoot straight, okay? Say amen, preacher. Shoot straight. Come on. Ministry's never easy. Never. Oh, there's some times when it's easier than others, but most of the time it's hard. It's hard. But I go back to who Jesus was and what Jesus did. And you go back to Jesus as He stood before Pilate You know what Jesus never said? I'm enjoying this. When Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, you know what Jesus never said? Boy, this is fun. When Jesus was beaten, Jesus never said, can I have more, please? You know what he did say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a servant. He said, it is finished. I've done what I come here to do. That is service. And that kind of service can only come from a servant's heart. So today I'm asking you to just take an honest look at where you are in your walk with God. You see, you know, we've been doing the Desiring God and we're going to continue that for a little while, but I want you to understand, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm asking you to go before God and say, God, is my heart right? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get tired. Do you ever talk to yourself? I don't answer, but I do talk to myself. I'll be driving down the road and, you know, I'll be toward the end of the day and whatever, and I'll think, man, I'm just getting so tired. And I did that the other day, and I just, man, I'm tired. And every once in a while, God says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're given a good living. You have not yet worried about, are you going to eat? You've not yet worried about the roof over your head? And yes, gas is for something a gallon, but guess what? I've still been able to fill up my vehicle by the grace of God. And I thought, you know, God had given me all this stuff, and here I am just saying, oh, I'm just tired. Then I thought about Jesus. When he hung on the cross for me, I wonder if you ever thought, man, I'm just tired. No. You know what he thought? I've come to do the will of him who sent me. So, you've got to realize where the Spirit is coming from that motivates you. Okay? This motivation, or this Peter, when he says, you're not going to do this, that wasn't from God. When something's in your way, say, you don't want to do this. You better realize where the Spirit's coming from. Because see, there's a servant's honor that's involved. What this amounted to, it was a bribe. Okay, when Peter was rebuking Jesus, he's offering an option, basically. Jesus, you do not have to do this. But I want you to notice where the idea was coming from. It was coming from Satan. That's why Jesus himself said, get behind me, Satan. You know, we think, and he's not abusing Peter. He's identifying the problem. Peter's under the influence of satanic thinking, of wrong thinking. Okay? Here's the challenge that I challenge you with today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Turn over there with me. You gotta test the Spirit. You gotta test the Spirit. I'll be honest with you. In churches today and among Christians today, there's a spirit of I don't want to. Here's the question you've got to ask yourself. is that Spirit from God? You know, part of our study on Sunday nights, we talked about satanic and demonic oppression. Listen, if you're a child of God, Satan cannot possess you, but he can sure oppress you. And he can influence you. And that's what's going on with Peter here. Peter's saying, you don't have to do this. And so what Jesus does is he tests the spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirits. Brother Doug, how do I do that? Well, we go back in our study to the Word. You test the Spirit by the Word. You know what I had to do the other day when I was driving down the road? I'm just tired. I had to test the Spirit. I had to open up the Word. Okay, whereas I'm just tired. I'm ready. Not in there. That's not coming from God. That's coming from the devil trying to discourage me. He doesn't want me to serve. He doesn't want me to preach. He doesn't want me to pastor. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm the only one. I'm not the only one that he doesn't want to serve. He doesn't want you to serve. And he will give you every excuse, every reason, and even justify it for you so it makes sense. Test the Spirit. I hear quite oftentimes people say, well, you know, Brother Doug, I deserve to be happy. Have you ever heard people say that? I deserve to be happy. That's one of the marriage things I hear a lot in marriages that go on the rocks. And I hear them say, well, you know, I deserve to be happy. Let's test the Spirit. Show me the Scripture. Show me the Scripture. It's not there. When you say, you know, and I've heard, brother, you know, we've approached people through years and say, will you try this? You know what they say? Brother Doug, I just can't. Show me the Scripture. I'll show you where the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You show me the Bible where the Bible says I can't. It's not here. Try the Spirits. One of my favorites is, I'm sorry, Brother Doug, I just don't have time. You don't have time to serve? Show me. I'm going to put people on the spot this year. Because I'll be perfectly honest with you. As a pastor, there's this spirit that's kind of getting into the church, and I love you. There's a spirit of kind of getting into the church of an expectation of being served instead of serving. I'm not throwing stones. I'm telling you the truth. We got to get back the heart of service. The heart of a servant. The desire to serve. The eagerness, willing, and even looking for the opportunity. You see, the problem with Peter was stinking thinking. I'll say that again, stinking thinking. That came to me last week. I thought, man, that's good. Because I have the same problem, stinking thinking. Jesus said in verse 33, and I want to call your attention to this. He said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God. Can you help me finish this verse? But the things of men. What's the problem with servants today? We're not mindful of the things of God. We're mindful for the things of men. We think like men think. We think like people think. I mean, let's face it.
It's easy to be selfish. We're living in that age of entitlement and I deserve mentality. Honestly, that's what's wrong with our country today. Everybody thinks they deserve something and they've done nothing to deserve it. I appreciate our military. We just got off Memorial Day. People have died so that we could live here. Soldiers have lost limbs and arms and, you know, so that we could have this country. A country of what? Well, it should be another country of people who are willing to step up and say, I'll serve, I'll do whatever it takes, I'm here to serve my country. Instead, we hear, I deserve, I'm entitled. You hear it on TV, all the commercials, you are entitled. No! Lose that mentality. Quit thinking about what you deserve, because I want to tell you, if you got what you deserve, it would be hell. Me too. I praise God for grace. And the appropriate response to grace is that I want to serve the Lord. The motivation for our action must be to the glory of God. Lord, I want to serve you for your glory. And if you'll keep that in mind, if you'll keep that focus of, Lord, I'm serving you, then you won't be so disappointed and discouraged by the response of men. You know? Now, serving the Lord, we serve people. That's what serving the Lord entails. But we keep our eyes on, I'm here to serve Jesus. I'm here for a mission, a purpose that God ordained before I was born. Let our motivation today not be, I can't, I won't, I don't like, I don't. Let's get rid of that. And let's just say, to God be the glory. Lord, your will be done. I want to serve you. Lord, you show me how. Here's the challenge for the week. Woo, we always ready for challenges, right? Come on, give me an amen. You stay with me. I hadn't been that hard on you today. We're going to be doing, it used to be called servant survey cards. Well, we threw that out. Because we'd done that so long and we got very detailed, and to be honest with you, it'd take 30 minutes to fill one of them out. So, at the end of services today, we've got a new survey card. It is one half sheet. I think there are like 10 things on there. And it asks the question, what are you interested in? What are you interested in? And it's very vague. You're not volunteering for anything. All right? You're not volunteering. I promise you, before you're stuck into something, you will be talked to by me or Brother Michael or Brother Kelly or somebody. Right? We're not just going to throw you to the wolves. But I want to tell you, my goal is that we have a church full of servants. And I want to give you that opportunity to serve. And you know, perhaps in the past we overlooked some things and didn't get people plugged in and on some things. But this year we're going to be very meticulous. And so when you get them, you do not fill them out. Did you hear me? What are you going to do with them when you get them? Do not fill them out. I want you to take them home with you, and I want you to pray over these prayer cards, or over this info card. I want you to spend the week praying. If you try to give them to anyone on the church staff, Miss Ruby, me, Kelly, anybody on the church staff, before next Sunday, we will not take them. Okay? I'll say, I love you, but I don't want it. I want you to spend the week praying. Lord, show me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me my interest. And there's basically interest questions. And then at the bottom, there's an other. If there's something specific that you'd really like to do, you put it on there. Okay? But after you've spent the week earnestly praying and saying, God, what would you have me to do? Then we will receive it from you next Sunday. But my point is this. You've got to pray. Before you do anything for the Lord, you've got to pray. Remember, we did a section on prayer and the importance of prayer. You've got to pray about it. Tonight, we're going to have a special prayer service. And we're going to pray about this. And we're promised in the Word of God, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. So before you get started serving, you better ask God, where do you want me serving? But today, and you'll get those flyers here in a little while, and if you lose them this week, don't lose them. Okay? Don't lose them. We'll give you more next week, but don't lose them. Today, I just want to ask you to humbly and honestly do business with the Lord in this invitation and pray this prayer. You can come to the altar. You can sit where you are. You can bow where you are. But pray this prayer. Lord, take away the selfishness and the self-centeredness that is in me and show me where you want me to serve. Can we do that? You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, Jesus died for your sins so that you could have eternal life, and He's made it available to you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I feel so sorry for people who are unsaved or not saved. And the reason they're going through life without purpose. You see, if you're a child of God, you know you're here to serve the Lord. If you're not a child of God, you're here to live and then die and spend eternity in hell. That's not very encouraging. If you need to be saved, would you come in this invitation we're going to have in just a moment? If there's a commitment that you already know God's been dealing with you to make, will you come in this invitation and let me help you with that? But I'm going to ask you right now, right where you're sitting, every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm going to challenge you. Let's pray together. Lord, take away my selfish self-centeredness. And give me the heart of a servant. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it is so easy to become selfish and self-centered. But we're reminded, Lord, that's the way that men think. Men think, this old world think, what's in it for me? How can I benefit? How does it please me? When our goal, Lord, must be, how may we serve you? So, Lord, I pray that you'll take away the self-centered selfishness that is in me. Forgive me of that sin. And give me a new heart. A heart dedicated and desiring to serve you by fulfilling my call. And I pray that you'll fill this church with people who have a desire not to be served, but to serve. In Jesus' name I pray.